the county. So it is amazing to me what 30 years can do. Patience and time, as a great man once said. 30 years ago, when this very show from 3 to 7 first was invited to go to the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament. This is a story that probably a lot of people don't know in the annals of ticket history.
Once upon a time, we did stroke by stroke of the tournament.
Yeah, we did. God, that's crazy. Forgot about that. Both tournaments, both local tournaments, when we thought that was a cool thing to do, and it was a cool thing to do. So it was also cool to be able to go out there and do all the shows. And very early on in the mid-90s or so, the original Hardline guys went out there. And at the time, the pavilion was a massive thing. I don't know what it's like anymore. I have no idea up there. I don't even know if there is one. I've been up there every year. It's been up north in McKinney. And I'm sure they have something that's called that. But I just think things have changed so much, as they will over time, that you don't think about it. But back in the day, when it was played at TPC Las Colinas, the pavilion, quote, pavilion, was this place where it was off the course probably, I don't know, 50, 60 yards. I think originally it was back behind the number one, kind of tucked away behind the number one fairway.
Yeah, it was alongside the fairway.
Okay. And it was this huge...
It was adjacent to the hotel there, the Four Seasons.
Yeah, and it was this huge tent area, and it was just people that went out there for the scene. And they had no interest whatsoever in going to see a golf tournament, and I get it. Probably 50% of people still do that, because the scene at every one of these golf tournaments is really cool. They make sure that they're catering to people that want to see an event, not just a golf event. And they've done a great job, and... the TPC up north now in McKinney, where it's being held, they've done a great job kind of configuring their setup to make it more appealing to people that want to go up there for the scene. And like we've brought...
There are so many different lounges and
yes,
pavilions. It's overwhelming. And like, you don't know where to go.
They've made like a mini bird's nest. Phoenix is always going to have the greatest hole ever in golf. Non-major golf, number 16, which is like the size of a football stadium now, the fan zone is, and it's absolutely one of the most incredible scenes ever. You see it on TV, and it's great, and it's loud and noisy, and it's raucous, and people are jumping up and down and screaming. If you make a hole in one, then the world shuts down up there. And they've done a nice job on their 17th hole, I believe, where we broadcast a couple of different times in trying to recreate that magic on a much smaller scale, obviously. But it's a good scene. Well, back then, they didn't really have that specific hole-wise, and so the scene was the pavilion, and everybody knew that. And at the time, we were in our 20s when all this was going down, and it was like the heyday. And it was kind of getting to the point, too, where it was pretty sketchy, where it was basically the strip clubs would send out strippers.
Yeah, yeah, and they would be handing out business cards.
Right, and there's really nothing you could do to stop them, even though you knew that you're like, oh, there's a stripper. You could play guess the stripper. Where are they? You know, and they were kind of everywhere. Or people that worked at the gentleman's place, they might have been actual strippers. And so it became like this big thing. And so the afternoon show, at the time, the guys, Mike and Greg, they hated golf 100%. Didn't care for it at all. And so they took advantage of broadcasting down there in the pavilion area. I think our tent was set up right by it, from what I remember at least. Maybe revisionist history. But we were right by the pavilion, and they took to talking to people in the pavilion. And remember, 3 to 7, and on Thursday and Friday, especially Friday, by 5 o'clock, the people in that place...
Hammered.
Blackout drunk. Like, so, so drunk. And so the salesmanship club, who runs everything and has done it forever...
The guys in the red pants.
Yeah, the red pant guys. Those guys at the time in the mid-90s were... They didn't know what to do. Because it was obviously a thing, right? And there was not much you could do to stop the clientele unless you just wanted to shut it down. But it was also such a big part of the money-making of the salesmanship club and what they donate to charity, which they give millions and millions to charity. And this thing was making millions and millions of dollars every year. People flooding in there nut to butt, and staying there from, you know, noon until they kicked you out at whatever time it was. Well, the Mike and Greg decided to take it a step further, I think, in year two or three of being asked to be out there. And they would get girls over to the broadcast site. And was Gordon a part of this? Yeah, he was. And he was measuring boobs. Like, oh, what do we got here? And you guys remember this at all? You were tiny.
Absolutely
kids.
Remember this.
Do you really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And all just right. That y'all were kicked out, that y'all were exiled from the tournament.
Yes. And at some point, I don't know what year it was. It was pretty soon after we got a license to be in there. Maybe the first year that we were kicked out was the first year that we were working on the show, Dave, the same time, 99. And so instead of going there, we were like, well, we'll show these guys. And again, at the time, the salesmanship club guys that were running things, they were in their 50s and 60s, and they were looking at all of us as freaking 25-year-old ne'er-do-wells.
Just miscreants.
Yes, 100%. Like, they couldn't believe it. There was a huge disconnect between us and the salesmanship club in every way possible. And so we would broadcast at a place. There were a couple different places we would go to, and then the first year I remember doing the off-site thing, we got a limo, took it to the course. I went in the pavilion, got as many girls as I could to get in the limo with me to go back to the broadcast site, which was in Irving by the course, within a mile or
Cool
two.
Cool River
but,
or something.
Yeah, Cool River. There was another couple of places we went to, I know, and then we promised to pay for their drinks and hang out with us. So we could talk to them because we weren't allowed to broadcast in there. So it was like this power play that
we
had,
workaround.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And this lasted for years. We were banned from the Nelson for a long, long time. And I don't even remember when they asked us back, but I do remember why. And at that time, we'd gotten well past what they were doing back then, which, you know, was just very Howard Stern-ish radio, cartoony radio at the time.
It was an offshoot of the disgruntled bikini girl.
Right, yeah.
That was a staple early on in the hard line. And, yeah, times change.
Boy, do they.
Things change.
Do they ever. And so I don't know what year we started going back, but I do know why, and that is because the salesmanship club guys, as the old guard left...
Yeah, as the membership turns over.
And the young guard starts to take over and become 40-year-olds and 50-year-olds. Well, guess who else turned 40 and 50? Us. And so they grew up with us, and they loved us. And so now we've got this incredible relationship with all of the salesmanship club guys. They're all great. I know half of them out there. And it's just so weird because they always represented this form of like old Dallas.
Like stodgy.
Yes. And now, dude, they're all just like us.
Yeah.
And they probably always were, you know, but they just.
I don't know.
They may not have been. Maybe we're different.
Yeah. It's a generational thing, I think.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is. So now, like what you heard this morning. On the Musers was one of the salesmanship club guys who wrote the bio for George, who played in the pro-am at Trinity Forest with all these celebrities, and Patrick McAvoy, who I've known for years. So PM wrote this ridiculous bio of George that is like 3 pages or 4 pages long when Clayton Kershaw is getting like one sentence, you know, 2003 NL MVP or whatever, Cy Young, and that's kind of it. And George got this huge, long, ridiculous bio that's one of the funniest things you can possibly read. And if you heard him this morning kind of going over it all and Gordo reading it, it is absolutely hilarious. And so now all of these guys love the radio station. And it's so refreshing because I always was part of the contention that loved the golf tournament. Yeah. I was part of the golf nerd.
You were
nerd
frozen
group.
Out of the thing that you love.
Yes, most. And I was like, God, this sucks because I really like being out here. And I would be friends with you if you would let me. And there was just no chance of that ever happening. And now here we are you know, 26 years later after being kicked out, where we'll be out there tomorrow. The morning show was out there this morning, obviously, and I love it. I love the relationship we have. I love the fact that those guys do so much great work in the community. And again, as a kid, as a 25-year-old, I didn't know that. I didn't know what was going on. They were nerdy red pants guys. And now all the red pants guys are my friends, and it's just a different world. It's great, though. It's great to have them back in our lives. And I know it's been a while since we started going back out there, but it's really great to have them on our side. But that is the story of the Red Pants guys, the Salesmanship Club, and our relationship with them. And we'll have Patrick on tomorrow because I want to get to the bottom of
the author of the Jump bio.
Yes, because
I missed it. I want to hear it. So we're going to replay it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll replay it tomorrow and have some fun with him.